Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And it's almost 11 a.m. I wonder how many high schoolers who are off on spring break are still sleeping. We want to know that teenagers are late to bed and hate to wake up. We know that already. And we want to know how that plays in your house. Are you the parent who struggles every morning to wake your kid up and get them out the door and off to school? Are you a teenager who can't help but stay up super late into the night finishing homework or maybe likely on Instagram with your friends? Parents and teenagers, call us up right now and talk about sleep and the teenage years. 212-433-WMYC. That's 212-433-9692. And while your calls are coming in, it's the third week of WNYC's Clock Your Sleep Project. Do you believe that almost 4,000 of you have joined us to track your sleep? And you can still sign up. Just go to WNYC.org/sleep. Each week on the Brian Lehrer Show, we have been talking about the sleep cycle through the life cycle. Last week, we talked about babies and sleep. And today we're talking about adolescence and sleep. Joining us for this are two guests. We've got Dr. Shelby Harris. She's the director of the Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program at Montefiore Medical Center. And Temiteo Fagbenle, a 17-year-old at WNYC radio rookie reporter who's been reporting on sleep and teenagers. And we welcome you back to WNYC, both of you.
Thanks for having me.
So we already see the phone calls coming in, and I'm going to start, Shelby, with you because we want to begin with the data point that shows that by 12:15 a.m., the only people still awake are people under 24 years old.
Right.
Is that the difference in the biology of young people that makes them want to stay up late?
Definitely. What we see happen is when we're younger children, we have this innate ability, this circadian rhythm clock in our body that makes us want to go to bed earlier and wake up earlier. And then when we start to become early teens, we actually, our body clock naturally shifts later. So there is a normal delay that happens where they want to go to bed a little later and they want to wake up later. However, that combined with all the other things that teenagers are doing, work demands, socializing, everything, it's making it even worse.
I know we're supposed to be talking about teenagers, but I thought elderly people were up in the middle of the night. Is that not right?
That's another kind of circadian rhythm disorder. So the body clock is off, but what happens typically in older adults is they actually tend to go to bed really early. So not everyone, but many might even have a problem where they're going to bed as early as 8 p.m. or earlier than that, and then they're waking up at 3, 4 in the morning and then have trouble going back to sleep, so they're up in the middle of the night.
Oh, well, I'm told by my producer, who's really on her toes, that older people are going to bed at 12:03 a.m.
Yeah, well, that can happen as well. So there's a few issues. So older people, you kind of talk about two issues going on. One is that some older adults do have this natural clock that makes them go to bed earlier. For them that don't have that problem, there's actually this lack of almost things to have to do as much in the morning. So they're not having to get up as much to go to work. So that becomes delayed in that way. So it can go in both ways with older adults. In teens, it typically goes later, though.
All right. So we've got 4,000 people participating in our project. That is all of our data that I'm referring to. And you can still sign up, of course, at WNYC.org/sleep. But Temi, let's come over to you. We're talking. So if older people are in bed by 12:03 a.m., our data is showing that at 12:15 a.m., the only people awake are people under the age of 24 years old. Does this ring true for you? Because you've been talking to a lot of teenagers for a reporting project that you're working on. Are you hearing from them and other people pretty much in the under 24-year-old age group that they're not tired until after 12:15 a.m.?
I mean, speaking for myself personally, I don't get tired until maybe after 1 a.m., but yes, I am definitely hearing from a lot of people my age that it's really hard to fall asleep at, I guess, the typical time of 9 to 10 p.m. So a lot of people are getting tired, you know, after 12 a.m.
And what are they doing? I mean, are they, I mean, I you know, in the old days, they'd be lying in their bedroom on a cord, a phone with a cord attached to it. But now, are they on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter? Are they Skyping? Is it about the social media?
It is. Social media definitely plays a large factor in young people staying awake so late at night. All of the things you mentioned, yeah, a lot of young people use that, I guess, when they're staying up and, you know, they have other friends that are up, you know, that may be across the city. And suddenly we have this new technology that, hey, we can just Skype with our friends at 2 a.m. So.
And do you think, Temi, they also feel that they need to be on social media, you know, Instagram, whatever it is, when they get to school the next day, they don't want to feel they missed something? And so they feel they have to stay connected into the early morning hours, or they're going to be kind of out of the mix?
I don't really think it's so much as a need as the social media has sort of become an extension of a lot of these kids' lives, and a very important extension, speaking in terms of young people and social media. So, it's not that they think they'll miss anything. It's just that it's become totally normal to just flick on the screen and see what's happening. So, yeah.
I know with my own daughter, and boy, I'm so glad she's not listening and is in class. But because she does not have spring break right now. But she lies in the bed with the electronic device, whatever it is, iPad, phone, computer. And I've actually taken the iPad away, by the way, and we cannot stop that behavior. And we're pretty old-fashioned, strict parents, but there's that, I think that's just the modern teenage tendency. And we want to hear from some teenagers, if this sounds familiar, is this what happens to you at home at night or the next day in school? Do you talk with your friends about what you saw the night before online? 212-433-9692. And Shelby, it sounds like there is a lot of screen time happening at home based on what Temi is finding in her reporting late at night. Is the blue light part of the problem, that blue light that is emitted from the screens, does it affect the way you sleep or whether you can get to sleep, especially if you're a young person?
Yes. So, like I said earlier, there's this natural delay in most teenagers' clocks, about usually around 2 hours later. So they actually they're more of night owls anyways. So they're up about 2 hours later than most people naturally. And what happens is, because there's that natural shift, the melatonin comes out in their brains a little bit later. And what melatonin does is it's this signal, this natural hormone that comes out in our brain and tells us it's time to start getting sleepy. When we use blue light, so if you're on an iPad or anything that has a bit of a bluish hue to it, that actually delays melatonin coming out even more. So it makes it harder for your brain to naturally get sleepy, even at the time that you want to. So it's all the blue light that's really affecting it. And then there's also the stimulating aspect. You know, you're up, you're socializing, doing all whatever it is that you're doing at that time of night. That makes it harder to get to sleep on time, but you still got to get up really early to go to school the next day, which is creating all this sleep deprivation.
All right, let's take a call. We have Pearl, who is in Manhattan. Pearl, welcome to WMYC.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And you are on with our doctor of sleep, Shelby Harris, and she's with the Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program, so you're in luck. And you also are on with our radio rookie reporter, who's 17 years old, and she's been reporting on sleep. And we want to hear your story, Pearl. How old are you, first of all?
I'm 15.
Okay, and you live in Manhattan?
I do.
And what? So you're a sophomore in high school?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you sleep, Pearl?
I tend to sleep quite deeply, I think. I mean, it's probably an effect of not enough sleep, but the second my head hits the pillow, I'm kind of just out of it.
Well, that's good news. How much sleep do you get?
On average?
Yeah.
Probably about somewhere between 6 and 7 hours.
Well, Shelby, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, pretty good.
That's average. So what we've seen, it's not necessarily great, but it's a function of many problems or many issues going on. But actually, most teenagers and adolescents are getting about 7 to 7.5 hours of sleep a night. But here's a staggering statistic, is that almost all adolescents need between 9 and 9.25 hours of sleep every night. Only 20% of adolescents are actually getting that. So there's a lot of things in our society that need to be changing in order to allow for that 9 to 9.25 hours. Most teenagers are getting 2 hours less sleep, if not more, a night that they really need to be doing.
Okay, doctor, I want to ask you what we're going to change. And I don't know what it could possibly be, but Pearl, do you ever get 9?
Yeah.
I guess on the weekends maybe you get 9 hours, Pearl?
one day on the weekend because I have a Saturday morning job. So,
wow.
But,
so yeah, right. What time do you go to bed on a school night?
Between 11 and 12, I'd say.
And you have to be at school at what time?
I have to be at school at 8 o'clock.
And the commute is?
The commute, I probably leave at about 7:20 to 7:30.
All right. So this is what we're talking about, right, Shelby?
Yeah. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things. Our teenagers nowadays are getting pulled in so many directions. You know, there's, like we were talking about, the socializing aspect, but schools are really starting very early, earlier than most teenagers naturally want to be waking up for. So, right, and then you think about it, the elementary schools start later, and kids have already, elementary school kids have been up since 6 in the morning, many of them. So it's this problem of them having even more homework a lot of times at night, after school activities, all these things, which I understand in our society is hard to change, but there have been some school systems that have tried delayed school time openings.
Right, and I wanted to ask you if that was one of the things we should change. Let me ask Pearl one last question.
Yeah.
I want to ask Temby the same question. Pearl, are you tired?
Yes.
Consistently?
Yes.
Wow. All right, Pearl, thank you so much for your call and for your honesty.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
And Temby, let me ask you the same question. I know you're here to report. Are you finding from the people you're talking to, I know you're 17 years old yourself, you're talking to young people under the age of 24, mostly teenagers, are they telling, I know they're telling you about their sleep habits, but are they telling you that they're tired, as Pearl just told us?
Yeah, they are. A lot of them are telling me that they're tired. So it's a pretty normal thing, I think, to just be tired throughout the day.
Wow. All right. We've got a younger, I was going to say young woman, but I think I can call her a girl. Politically correct to call her a girl. Samantha is 13 years old, right, Samantha?
Yep.
All right. What's your story, Samantha?
I'm 13, and I feel like over the week I have sports during the day. So I usually get home by like 5 or 6. So I'm usually don't have my phone until 5 or 6. So I feel like a lot of the time after sports, we're all on our phones before. And then after we get home, we don't really start homework till later at night because we're on our phones for most of the night.
What are you doing on your phone?
Well, I mean, we text each other a lot and we're usually on Instagram. I think it's a lot. It's like, you have so much to do, like so many things to do on your phone. You kind of like don't. I delay. I know that me. I delay a lot with my schoolwork, and I'm on my phone a lot more.
And how late do you stay on your phone?
I usually don't start homework till about 8 o'clock, so I'm not done till like 10 or 11 o'clock. So I'm usually on till about 8 o'clock, even during dinner.
Even during dinner?
Yeah.
And what time are you going to sleep, Samantha, 13-year-old Samantha in Westchester?
Well, I'm usually not asleep till 12:30.
And what time do you have to be at school?
I have to be at school at 8:30, so I'm up. My parents go to work early, so I'm usually up by 7:30.
Do you think it affects your schoolwork, your performance?
I think during like the first few periods of class, it's really hard to concentrate.
Wow.
And that's so common.
And Samantha, I want to thank you so much for your call and for
you.
Your honesty. And let me come back to you. I heard you jumping in there, Dr. Harris, and I was coming immediately to you. Let's talk about the effect on her first few periods of the day. And teachers who are out there, do you see this? 212-433-9692. Do you see this in your classrooms in the early morning periods, kids who are suffering in the class, falling asleep during class, or not able to perform as well as you think they might if they were getting more sleep? So Shelby, what do you think? Obviously, we're seeing poor performance in the mornings. I don't think Samantha's just anecdotal, right?
No, it's so common. I mean, if you think about it, you know, you take a normal teenager who's phase delayed already, meaning they go to bed late and they naturally want to wake up 10, 11, 12, usually around 12 for most of them, during the day. Now, they're going to work at or school at 7 a.m., 7:30. They're having tests at 8, 8:30. That's like someone, you know, who maybe sleeps from 11 to 7, an adult, asking them to go and take a test at 3 or 4 in the morning. So you're not going to be at your best at that time. And we find that very commonly because they're in adolescence because they're so sleepy at that time. Their brains aren't fully awake, and they're sleep-deprived on top of that. We've seen that the levels of sleepiness, we talked about teens being tired. I know Temi was just talking about that. We've seen it actually been comparable, the level of sleepiness, to those with narcolepsy in teenagers, especially in the morning hours.
Now, is there a difference, though, between a teenager who's staying up by choice on social media or maybe doing homework and adolescent insomnia or sleeping disorders?
Yes, there's some differences. So there's one issue that's teenagers who really can't, even though they try to, they physically can't fall asleep earlier. Even if they're limiting blue light and they're just trying to relax, they are on a delayed schedule. Some teenagers, their clocks are just very, very delayed, and they really struggle with getting up to go to school in the morning. They're the kids who are often missing school in the morning, or they're going in late and the parents are having to drag them out of bed. There are other teenagers who are that might have a level of stress and having trouble relaxing and things like that that are happening at night. So it's making it hard for them to fall asleep. And then there's the other bigger group, I think, of teenagers who just aren't, and their families maybe aren't fully making sleep that priority. So they're doing other things. They're getting pulled in many directions, and just sleep time just gets later as a result.
So the first thing a family needs to do is figure out which of those categories you're in, and then perhaps come to a place like Montefiore Medical Center and a behavioral sleep medicine program like yours.
Exactly. It's really figuring out what the problem is and trying to also be consistent with it across the whole family.
Well, let's take a call from a parent. Deborah, you're on WMYC. You're so fortunate to be on with Dr. Shelby Harris, who's the director of the Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program at Montefiore Medical Center. We also have Temi Fagbenle, who is one of our Radio Rookie reporters. I don't know if you're familiar with Radio Rookies here at WMYC, but she's been out talking with lots of young people. Like, I think you have one at home, right, Deborah?
I do. I have a 17-year-old.
All right. Well, tell Temi all about your son.
Well, we've really been trying to work with it, considering, you know, he's got school at 7:15 in the morning. We've stopped taking the bus just to give him maybe even a half an hour more of sleep, which has helped. So I drive him to school. And then he knows to stop using his computer about an hour before he goes to sleep, which is around between 11 and 12 o'clock at night. And then on the weekends, we try to wake him by, between 8 and 9 o'clock to keep him regulated so that on Monday, because of that sleeping in really throws everything off. So it seems to be working pretty well. I mean, it's not ideal. He's definitely not getting enough sleep, but we really try to manage
it. How much is he now getting, Deborah?
I would say so he's, going to bed between 11 and 12, waking up around 6:30. So, not perfect, but better. But then, like I said, if we regulate it during the weekend, that seems to keep things, much better than when he tends to sleep in or want to sleep in because of the week.
And do you take his electronic devices away from him in the evening hours when he's going to sleep, even on the weekends?
Well, I don't really have to. He knows. I think he really understands the benefit of doing that because it really helps him to fall asleep more quickly when, so he'll read instead, a book, a real book, not on,
right.
on the iPad. So we've managed it as best we can considering, the school, starting hour, which is really the problem.
Yeah, 7:15 is really early. Dr. Harris, thoughts on this?
I think what you're doing with trying to make sleep a priority is excellent. And, what we do see, a lot of teenagers do try to sleep in on the weekends to try and catch up as much as possible. They actually don't get anywhere near as much sleep on the weekends as they're probably losing during the week. But it is, I think, what you're doing with limiting the computer and having him now learn, okay, you know what, if I'm trying to make a sleep a priority, I'm going to try and go to bed earlier. It does help him. And I think a lot of parents aren't necessarily doing it, and they're not modeling that for their kids either. A lot of parents will be on their computers and phones up until bedtime, but not have their kid do this, you know, or they'll tell their kid to stop it, but they're not doing it themselves. So I think that's good that you're doing these things overall.
Yeah, definitely helpful. And it really helps, you know, his ability to get up in the morning. You know,
right.
I find that he has an easier time by doing, you know, by controlling it as best we can to maximize his sleep. So,
Deborah,
so yeah, it's not easy, but we're trying.
Nothing about parenting is easy, Deborah.
Right, exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for your call. And Timmy, I want to come out to you as our reporter because you're talking with young people. Do any of them talk about their relationships with their parents regarding sleep? Do the parents have involvement, or do they talk about their parents' involvement in their sleep habits?
Right. So with almost everybody I interviewed, I asked about their relationship with their parents now and how what they say to them to get them to sleep. And what I found was that as we grow older, the relationship between like having that set bedtime and having a time that you have to go to sleep, it sort of changes and it metamorphoses and it becomes something where it's very hands off in regards to that. So a lot of people, like, they'll just be up at 2 a.m. and, you know, their parents won't really say anything. Maybe their parents will already be sleeping.
All right. Well, you know, the thing about parents already sleeping is if the kids are going to bed at 12, 14 or 25 or what did we say, 12:15 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
and our study shows that everybody else is asleep. That includes the parents.
Right. Yeah.
So how are they going to know, especially if they're tucked away in their beds? You know, back in the old days, kids were tucked away in the beds with a book and a flashlight. Now they're tucked away in the beds with their iPhone. So I'm not sure the parents would even be aware unless they're looking at what their kids are putting into the WMYC sleep study. So they're not going to be aware. You know, I got to ask two questions before we wrap this up because they're so important for our listeners. And one is something we touched on earlier, Shelby, and that is what we can do differently as a city, as a community, as a society to fix this problem. Is it later school times? Is it helping our kids commute to school, as Deborah talked about, instead of longer commutes, trying to tighten up their commute, which means, of course, there's a trade-off. The young man is not taking the bus, so he loses some autonomy, but maybe it's a fair trade-off. He gains a half hour of sleep. Do we take away the electronics? What are some of the suggestions you have? I've heard the later school time suggested so many times. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think there's a few different areas. You have to do it. We have to think about it as a societal aspect, and then we also have to think about it just really more so in our homes. So in our homes, it's like I've been saying, making sleep a priority, having the parents model the same behavior that they want their child to be doing. It could be something as simple, which is a lot of kids or teens will react negatively to it, but as putting a box outside and having everyone put their electronics or phones in the box at a certain time, and that's it for the family for the night. So things like that, really modeling that relaxing behavior, a book and a flashlight, like you were saying, relaxing at night. But then the school start times is interesting, and there have been some communities that have done it, but it really has shown that SAT scores improve, grades improve, tardiness really decreases. There's even fewer accidents on the road in the morning because you don't have sleepy teens driving. Yeah. So really, if we can work as a society to try and figure out how to have these later school start times work for in our favor, there's only going to be good things that happen from it. And the studies that have been done with these groups that have the delayed sleep or delayed school times have actually shown that teens still go to bed at the same time at night. They just are more efficient doing things during the day as opposed to when they're sleep deprived.
Well, it's so fantastic that you've taken the time to be with us today, Shelby. And you too, Timmy. It's been so helpful for parents, and I think for some young people who've been listening, and I want to thank everybody who's called in. We do have a comment from someone who wrote in, my 15-year-old has been sleeping about 10 hours a night since spring break started this week. Good luck getting him up on Monday morning next week. So I guess we'll end there. We do want to let everybody know that they can still sign up for WMYC's Sleep Project. Go to WMYC.org/sleep. You can see the charts about what we've learned so far from the almost 4,000 of you who are participating. And all the sleep-related segments and stories from across the station are compiled there as well, WMYC.org/sleep. And we're going to continue these segments going forward. I want to thank Dr. Shelby Harris, the director of the Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program at Montefiore Medical Center, and our own WMYC radio rookie, Temi Fegbenye, for joining us. And I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Thank you, ladies, so much, and stay with us.